In Jesus' name, if you believe it, could you say amen? Amen, amen. I don't know, I don't have an organ, so I can't sing like that. I can't sing that well. If you ever hear me sing good, that means Jesus showed up in the room. I'm just telling you right now, y'all. And I told my wife that. I'm like, if I sing in key, that means the anointing is there. Y'all need to get in on it quick, because I just know that much. But I'm excited about this year. Amen? Are you guys excited? Such a good year. I will tell you this. I would encourage you with this year to be praying and you know, asking the Lord for yourself, direction for your life for this next year. I have a piece of paper here. You guys can see I've written on it. Every time we come to prayer on Wednesday before service, I write things down that God speaks to me for this year. And not just for the church, but for my personal life. And you know what's amazing is God will show you things to come. And He'll help you out and give you direction. And so, one of the things is, I've got things I've got to do in faith here. I got some big things I got to do in faith, which is going to push on me a bit. But then also, I got this. I wrote this down right here. It says, this is one of those things when you write it down, and then you come back and read it later, and you go, ow. Because I wrote this down for 2023, stretching, molding, shaping, to testing of my faith. And then I wrote, my needs will be met, remind myself this year of His word and His faithfulness. Now, the first half, I read that again when I came in the other day, and I went, stretching, molding, shaping, testing of my faith. No wonder this year has started out the way it has. Because God gave me a little bit of insight and said, hey, there's going to be some stretching, going to be some growing. But how many of you know it's good? Because how many of you know if you don't grow and go through things in life, you'll stay the same? Anybody ever go to the gym? You always look at me like, why do you talk about the gym so much? But, you know, it's something we can all relate to. You go to the gym, and what do? When you go to the gym, you stretch yourself. You break down muscle, you rebuild, you get in shape, you walk longer, you build yourself up. But how many of you know, if you never go to the gym and go through the discomfort of going to the gym and the pain, anybody ever go to the gym have pain? I told you guys the story about how when I was in Oklahoma, I thought I would go to the gym 2 times in my life and get ripped. And I got so sore the next day I couldn't wash my hair. And so in order to wash my hair, I just threw shampoo towards my head and hoped I hit it. Because that's as far as I could reach my hands. I was like, there's no washing my hair. And it was more rinsing in the shower than it was bathing. Because I was like, I'm not rinsing. I just can't move my arms. But how many of you know, if you never go through that pain, there's no growth. And see, what happens as believers and Christians, especially, you know, we get together and we talk about New Year's and we pray about a new year and we say, Lord, stretch me and mold me into the man or the woman you want me to be. And everybody goes, you know, amen, woo, glory to God, yes, Lord. And then halfway through the year, we're like, Lord, please stop, please stop, please stop. But God knows that the Bible says that the testing of your faith, the trials you go through in life, the things you go through in life makes you stronger, helps you out. And I'm a whole lot stronger in my faith now than I was when I first came to this church. I am, because I've been through some things. And I've seen God's faithfulness. Now, has it always been easy? No. Have there been times where I've wanted to run away? Yes. But I've learned this with God. Stand. And stay steady. And let God work in you. See, the other day, my wife and I, we were talking about something. We were doing something in the house. And something came up. And I realized when it came up, the Lord just reminded me, you need to work on that. And I thought, are you serious? And He said, yeah, you need to work on that. You need to allow me to work on that right there. And it was the way I responded to something. It was just my word. It wasn't like I did this horrible thing. It wasn't like I yelled at my wife or anything. But it was just the way I responded. And the Lord said, you need to work on that. And I thought, okay, so how many of you know I have a choice right there? Okay, Lord, let's work on that together, or I'm good on that. Come on now. You say, but why would God want you to work on that? Because he knows that if I'm going to advance and go forward in life, I'm going to have to work on that. Because that one thing can hinder me. That one thing can stop something from happening in my life. See, that's why that scripture says the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Why is it that we don't like patience? We don't like that. We don't like the testing part. Now, that gets misused in churches. Testing, you know. People are like, God's going to test you. It's not God. The testing of your faith, that scripture literally means things in life that we go through, it tests our faith. How many of you know we just go through things in life? Why? Because we live in a fallen world. And so we go through things in life and our faith gets tested. And what's there comes out. You ever hear that old saying, what's inside when squeezed is what comes out? And, you know, if you don't like what's there, then you got to work on that. You got to allow God to help you in that area. And so what happens is in life when we go through things, that comes to the top. And when that comes to the top, if you allow God to remove that and help you, then what's left is more pure. It's better. It's stronger. It's like gold. It's like silver. It's when it gets purified, it brings out the impurities. How many of you guys know if you just go to the store and buy gold, some places you go buy gold, it's full of impurities. It's got a lot of mixtures in it. But if you want pure gold, they cook that stuff. And what do? They cook it to get out all the impurities so that everything is left is gold. There's nothing in it impure. And that's what happens in our life. When we go through things, things bring to the top. Pressure will always bring something out of you. It always does. Pressure. Pressure of what? Pressure of life. Pressure of your circumstances. Like, it just does. Like, how many of you guys know when we start talking about finances, finances will bring out what's there with your belief on finances. If you don't believe that, just have a bill come up that's unexpected. That's pressure. And when you're squeezed, what comes out is what's there. Now, if what's there is not good, God will say, let me work on that. Let's work on that together. But how many of you know sometimes that comes to the top and we're like, I'm good. And God says, well, that's fine. Just tell me when you're ready to work on that and it'll come out again. And then a bill comes up again and he'll go, let's work on that again. I'm good. Okay. And then how many of you know that old song? You'll be coming around the mountain when you come. Dun, dun. You just run around the same mountain. And what God will do is just keep working on you. Keep working on you. See, that's why it's always funny when you see people that leave churches for the wrong reason. They think they're escaping their problems. Wrong. It's going with you because you're the problem. You can't run from yourself. So you're like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving Illinois because I got to get out. I'm going to go to Colorado. Okay, well, have fun in Colorado because what you dealt with here, you'll deal with out there. See, that's why I tell people all the time, let God work on you. If you're supposed to do something, God will give you direction. If you're supposed to move on, God will tell you to move on. But, you know, let him work on you. Let him help you. Let him bring that up and work in you. You know, when I was in, I worked for a ministry when I was 18 years old. And I remember I dealt with a lot of stuff. And God started working on me with areas in my life. And what he did was I was really prideful because I thought I was the next best thing to whoever and whatever when I preached. I thought I was it. And I thought I was so much better than everybody else because what happened was when I got saved is people told me I preached good. Well, when you first get saved, that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. And so I had a lot of pride. And so I moved away from home. I went to this ministry to work for him. And I found out that I had a lot of pride. And you know what happened? For a whole year, actually a year and a half, almost two full years that I served at that ministry, I never got to preach but one time. And it was to a group of men at a Bible study. The whole time, God was working on me with pride. And how he started dealing with me on pride was, you know what he did? He had me clean toilets. Oh, man, did that tick me off when I had to clean toilets. I was so mad. I thought, you know, glory to God, do you know who's cleaning your toilet? And God said, we got some things to work on here. And so I let God help me out. I learned to just trust God. I learned to allow God to work with me and to show me what I needed to work on and to trust Him. And I remember I started allowing Him to work on that, and that got rid of that pride. Because then I realized it was God that gifted me. I realized that God gave me the talent. I realized that without Him, I couldn't do anything. I realized that without His strength in my life, I couldn't even get up. And so I started acknowledging that, and that helped get rid of that pride. And then I remember I was still at that ministry, and I started playing sports, playing basketball. I used to love to play basketball when I was younger, and I dealt with anger. And I would get so mad when we would play basketball, like I wanted to knock teeth out, you know. And I realized I had some issues. So you know what God told me? He said, don't play basketball until I tell you again. What did He do? He said, we got to work on your time. And when I play basketball, I notice when I was playing, I noticed that anger would start to come up. And I would just say, okay, I'm done. Next game, I'm done. I got to go. Why? Because I had to work on some things. So you say, why are you saying all this? Because it's not in my notes. Because somebody needs to hear it. See, this year is a year for us to grow and to be stretched. It's a year for us to mature as believers. See, God wants you to grow. If you want to stay the same, you can stay the same. You can be the same next year at this time. But if you want to grow, God will help you grow. Because God is the one that causes you to grow, and God is the one that will bring the increase in your life. But God will help you out. But how many of you know? You have to be willing. God will not overpower you and make you do anything. So don't think, you know, oh, well, I'm going to be, you know, this way this year. I'm different this year. Not if you don't allow God to help you, you won't be. And how many of you know you got to write things down too? You got to write it down so you remember it. You got to write it down. That's what Scripture says. Make the vision plain so that you can see it, so that the person that sees it can run with it. If you don't write things down, you're not going to remember what God has told you to do. You'll forget. Because why? Because life is busy. And so, I mean, you might remember it 3-4 months down the road, but, you know, you might not remember it. So if God's telling you, hey, I got to work on you in this area in 2023, maybe it's with your spouse. Write it down. Got to walk in love towards my spouse. You say, why do you always talk about spouses? Because that's the area most of the time people need to work on. Well, because your spouse sees all the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. See, that's the thing. My wife's not in here today, so she can't amen me on that. But she would say, amen. I see Pastor Matt like you don't. I see him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I see him when he gets up. I see him when he goes to bed. I see him when he's happy, sad, glad, mad, everything else. But, you know, there's some things that I have to work on. So what do? I write it down. I write it down. And it's knowing that and writing it down, and then it's partnering with God. It's working with Him, not against Him. See, in my life, when I was in Oklahoma, I worked at a job. And when I worked at this job, we had specific jobs. You say, what do you mean by that? Specific jobs. We had a job description and what we did. Why did we have specific jobs? So we knew what we were supposed to do. We knew our part. And when we worked together, everything went well. But if we kind of tried to do somebody else's part, it got a little frustrating. And my job, when I worked in Oklahoma, was I was a, what they would call, a lead technician. I was the boss. But there was a guy that I was before I got promoted, which was called the roof guy. That's what we called him. And the roof guy was basically the grunt. That means you did everything. Good, bad, ugly, everything in between, you did it. But you know what? If you did it, and you did it well, you would get promoted. And so what I did in my life was, at that job, I worked as a roof guy, and then I did that job faithfully, and I knew my job, and then I got promoted. And the reason why they do that was so that you would understand what the roof guy was doing, so you had a better understanding. So I was a lead technician, and that was my job. Now, as a lead technician, I had a little more authority than I did before. I had a little bit more weight with my words than I did before. And so I realized my job, and I realized his job description, and we had different jobs, but if we worked together, it went well. But if the person that was the roof guy was slacking, I'd have to do their job. Things didn't go as well. It took longer. It was more frustrating. I remember one time, we did a job one time, and I won't get into the whole dynamics of everything because, you know, it's been many years ago, but I remember I worked with this guy, and he came to work, just wasn't doing too well. Let's just put it that way. You can fill in the blank with what you think, how he came to work. And I had to call my supervisor and have my supervisor come and pick him up and take him home. And then I had to call a guy to come in and fill his position for me because I needed help. And a job that used to take me 2 hours ended up taking me 9 to 10 hours because this guy's job, I had to do his job plus my job. That was no fun. And so when we hired people all the time, I would make sure, listen, this is your job. Don't try to do my job. And I'm not going to try to do your job. Now, if you need my help, I'm here to help you. But let's work together as a team, but let's know our parts so that we can be effective and get this job done quickly. Because some of the jobs we did were so massive that they would take 10 to 11, 12 hours at a time. That's continually working nonstop, 12 hours. I mean, that's a long time. You ever sit on a roof with 120 degree water hitting on you for 5.5 to 6 hours? Y'all, it ain't very fun. Paid good, but it wasn't very fun. And so that was my job. And so, you know, I knew my description of my job, and I knew what the other guy's description was. And it's the same way with us as Christians. There is God's part, and there is your part. And a lot of Christians are frustrated because they're trying to do God's part instead of their part. Or they're trying to do both parts, God's part and their part. Or they're not doing their part, they're wanting God to do their part and his part. But there's a part in when we look at our new year, we have to realize we need to find out what it is that God has called us to do and then what it is that he is called to do. And the only place you find that out is in the Bible. That's it. If you don't read the Bible, you will never know your part. You will never know. That's why, you know, I remind ourselves when we give, for example, the Bible says give. That's your part. Like it or not, that's your part. Your part's not to figure everything else out. God says give. I'll bring the increase. So what do? I give. But too many people go, not gonna give, bless me. You'll be the first person in the history of the world that has disobeyed God and got blessed off of it. Think about that. God can't do that because if God does that in that area, then he's a liar. And if God's a liar, then I can't trust him in any area. But God says, give. And then what does he say? I'll do my part, rebuke the devourer, bless you, et cetera, et cetera. So there's God's part, there's my part. So in 2023, you have to stop and look at your life and say, what is God calling me to do and what am I supposed to do? What's my part? What am I supposed to do with my life? You're not here, I say this all the time, but it's true, you're not here just to take up space. There's a reason you're here. So find out your part and do your part and let God do his part. That scripture we read says what? Apollos and Paul, they watered, they planted, but who brought the growth? God. So you do your part, let God do his part. You say, well, how do I make the growth happen? You don't. You just let God cause it to grow. You let God prosper you. You let God take care of that area of your life. How many of you guys ever see a farmer throw seed out, and then every day you go out down Old State Road, and there's a farmer sitting there, and he's sitting there, and he's standing above the ground, and he's just staring. And every day you go by, and that farmer's standing there, and you go by, and you go, what are you doing? I'm hoping my seed's growing. Hoping it's working. I'm just watching it. You're watching your seed? Why don't you just let it do what it's supposed to do? Seeds know what to do. Do you know the seed of the Word of God knows what to do when you plant it? The seed knows what to do. You don't got to worry about it because it's a seed. Seed knows what to do. So farmers know, throw the seed out, cover it with dirt, and water it and go home. What happens? A harvest comes. That's how it is with God's Word. You throw seed out and plant it. You let God do his part. It's the seed of the Word of God. When that seed hits your heart, it knows exactly what to do when it hits your heart. You don't have to sit there and go, well, how's this seed going to work? Sometimes I don't know how it works. I just know it's the Word and it works. And it works in your life. So you trust God. You find out your part and you find out his part. And if you don't, and what happens is you try to do both people's part, what happens is you get burdened, you get frustrated, you get tired with things because you're trying to do something that you're not called to do. I thought one time, I'm just going to tell on myself this morning. When I was younger, how old am I? How do I really want to reveal my age? But when I was probably in my 20s, I thought I wanted to be a musician. Yeah, that kind of got debunked when I went on the road for a month with a reggae band. Yeah, I went on the road with a reggae band. Just ponder that for 3 minutes while I get a drink of water here. And you can laugh at me all you want, because y'all never did nothing wrong like that, so don't worry about it. But you know what I found out? I came back from that trip, and I have never been so frustrated and tired. And I remember when I came back, I think I was standing in the parking lot of the ministry I worked at, and I told the Lord, okay, I'll quit running. You've called me to preach. I'll quit running. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know what I'm going to preach in the sense if I'm a pastor, be an evangelist, but I just know you've called me to preach. Lord, I'm going to trust you with that. I'm going to quit trying to do everything else. I'm just going to trust you to lead me, trust you to guide me, trust you to provide for me. And I made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, you can take me anywhere you want, anywhere in the world, and I'll preach for you. I'll do what you want me to do as long as you do a couple things for me. Number one, you got to provide for me. You've got to provide for me. Number two, you got to give me a good place to lay down because I love my bed. So I'm like, I don't care if I'm in the jungles, just give me a pillow with a good mat, okay? And then the next thing is, God, I love to eat, okay? That's me legit talking to God. I like to eat, so I don't care if I got to eat monkey arms, I'll do it. But please make sure they're barbecued and they taste good, okay? I'll do it. But all I want is good food, I want to sleep, and I just want you to provide. And I'll go anywhere and everywhere, doesn't matter where you've called me to go, I'll do it. And you know what I found out? Once I got that burden off of me and just trusted God and let him lead and guide and direct me, things got a whole lot easier and I enjoyed my journey more. See, I knew my part. And that's how it is. You need to find out what God's called you to do for 2023. What is it that he's speaking to you to do? What is it? It might be spend more time in the Word. It might be give more. It might be pray. Excuse me, it might be pray more, it might be anything, but find out your part and find out scripture on what God has told you to do, because in those areas that you find out what he's called you to do, he's going to say, here's what I want you to do and here's what I'll do in return. How many of you know when you pray, the Bible says if you pray according to his word, he hears you. See, there's two parts there. My part is to pray and then to believe that he hears me. And then what happens? I believe if he hears me, then I have what I've asked of him. But you see, there's my part and his part. What's my part? To pray. What's my part? To believe that he heard me. And then what's his part? To answer my prayer. Well, how's he going to answer it? I just know he's going to do it. How's he going to provide? I don't know. It could rain down money, whatever. I mean, you might say, well, how's it going to rain down money? I don't know. Maybe fall out of an airplane or something. It's not going to come from heaven, but, you know, maybe fall out of a tree or something. I don't know. But I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, find out what God has called you to do. Find your part. Find it out, study the Word of God, and do what God has told you to do, and then let God do his part. It makes it more relaxing, makes it a better journey, makes it less stressful. For example, Psalms 91 says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right. I don't have to figure out why they're falling. I don't have to try to figure that part out. All I need to know is, God, you're my source, you're my protection, you're my tower, you're my refuge. You're going to keep me safe. Well, how God's going to do it? That's his part. I mean, you got angels. You got things. You take care of that. I'm trusting in you. I'm going to be led by you. And so I don't have to sit around trying to figure it out. See, that's why people panicked when there was a pandemic. Because they tried to figure it all out. Well, how are we going to do this? Y'all, we were sanitizing everything at the beginning of this, that thing. You remember that? We were sanitizing our groceries. Why? Because we were trying to control everything. But God said, nothing will touch you or harm you. So when that happened, I started realizing, I don't got enough money to buy wipes every day to sanitize it. I can't be doing this. I'll do it for a little bit if they want me to, but y'all, I got to trust God. So what did I do? Lord, your word says this, and you said this. So I believe if you're telling me to go somewhere, you're telling me to go to church and preach, then I'm going to be protected. Well, how are you going to be protected? Aren't you concerned? I ain't concerned because God is greater than anything that comes against me. God is bigger. Amen? So that's my part. And what that does is that gets rid of that fear of trying to control everything. See, I was a person that dealt with fear. And if I'm not careful, I try to control things. People that deal with fear try to control. They try to control because they want to control something if they can't control it all. That's why they deal with fear. And it causes people to be afraid with finances or, you know, anything like that. It's just like this. Your part. I'll just say it this way. Your part. We say this all the time. But your part. Go to the doctor. Just go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. I mean, you know, find out what's going on. I mean, I've got an appointment I got to go to here in the near future. Yay. You know. But you go to the doctor. What's my part? Go to the doctor. Then what happens if this happens or this is said? The doctors will tell you what they know, but you know more than the doctors because you have inside information. What's my inside information? God. So doctor, you know, you don't have to like, I know like for me, when I go to a doctor, they may say to me, you know, okay, I'm like my nose is running. Well, for example, a couple of years ago, I went to the doctor and I just couldn't get over something. And I don't know. I think I had something pre-COVID. I don't know what it was. But it was just, I couldn't get rid of it. And I went in and I was like, man, something's up. And so they poked and prodded me. And man, they did everything to me. And I thought, dear Lord, like, I didn't know you could stick things in noses so far. This lady, I thought she touched my brain. Glory to God, I thought she hit my head. And I thought, like, you touched, like, what I have. And I'm believing God that that'll be restored. And then they said, oh, we're going to stick it down your mouth. And I thought, glory to God, like you went up my nose, now you're going down my mouth. Like, what are you doing, people? You know, and so they did all this stuff. And she came back and she just said, well, we don't know what you have. You just have something viral. She said, it's not registering. We don't know what you got. Okay, well, you did your job. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's why I wanted you to tell me if there was something there. That's all I wanted. So then what did I do? Lord, I went to the doctor and they told me it was viral, but I believe that you're bigger than a viral disease, a viral sickness. And I thank you that this thing is coming out of my body in Jesus' name, and I'm healed by the stripes that were laid. I knew my part. Now, I didn't have to figure out how God was going to do it. I just spoke life to my body. And what happens? You know what my wife told me one time? This is my wife. I love my wife and how she simplifies things for me. I cut my mouth, and I was like, man, I'm bleeding everywhere. And she goes, ah. Don't worry about it. Just spit it out and go on. Your mouth knows what to do. So last night I brushed my teeth and I was like, man, I had a geyser going in there. But you know what I said to myself? Ah, my mouth, it knows what to do. So my body was created by God who made everything within me to repel anything that would try to. God knows what he did with me. And so I just said, I'm speaking to what's there that it will quicken and heal up my body. And I declared that my body was healed. And it took 2 months for me to get over that thing. But I got over it. Amen? You say, but what did you do? I went to the doctor and just found out what was wrong. And then I put my faith on it. So I tell people all the time, if you go to the doctor and they tell you something, they're just telling you what's there. And sometimes things are hidden, and we don't know what's there, so we need to go to a doctor to find out what's going on. What's going on? Because how many of you guys have something go on, and you go, what is that? What's going on? Well, sometimes a doctor will tell you. I mean, I've done it. I prayed for my stomach one time and could never get my stomach healed and went to the doctor and found out there was nothing wrong with my stomach. God said, I told you to go to the doctor. Because you're praying for your stomach, but your stomach was good. I mean, you got that thing so healed that it ain't ever going to get sick. But he was like, there's another problem. And when the doctor told me that problem, he said, put your faith on that. That's what's going on with you. And I went, oh, my bad. So you go to the doctor, you find out what's wrong, put your faith on it, and then you can get on the other side of it. So you don't have to fear it. Amen? So that's my part. My part is to go and just trust him. I just go to the doctor, Trust Him. Same thing like with finances, any area in my life. I trust God. I do my part, and then I let God do His part. So the first thing for this next year, one of the things you need to do is you need to find out what it is that God has called you to do. What's your part? Scripture says in Matthew 11, 28 and verse 30, it talks about taking His yoke and taking His burden because it's light. How many of you guys know we need to do that? We need to trust the Lord. It shouldn't, serving God should not be exhausting. The Bible says faith is a rest. Faith ought to have joy with it. If you're tired and exhausted, you might be trying to do God's part. So maybe stop and look at it and evaluate it and say, okay, Lord, am I trying to step over here and help You where I need to stay over here and just trust You? Don't always try to figure everything out. You know, there are some things in life, guys, this is going to be the easiest thing you can remember in life. There's some things you're just not going to know the answer to. There's just some things you're not. You know, I know a big one with people, and I can say this because I've been there, is death. Why somebody close to you died. If God doesn't tell you and God doesn't show you, then just let it go. Doesn't mean that God's not good. Doesn't mean that He's not faithful. Sometimes there are, I love that scripture that says, basically what it says is, there are some hidden things that between that person and the Lord is basically what that scripture means. They're the hidden things of the Lord. Meaning some things you will never know. You might not ever know. You might know it when you get to heaven, but you might not ever know. But you know what? There's some things I don't know. I mean, somebody might say to me, why'd your dad die? Well, I mean, he had a heart attack. But why? Don't you believe in healing? Yes. But why did he die? I don't know. He did. Do you know the answer? No, because God hasn't told me. But if God shows me, then I'm good. But if God never shows me, I still love Him, I'll still serve Him, and I still trust Him. You say, but do I need to know everything? Some things you're just not going to know, y'all. You'll wear yourself out trying to figure it out. You'll exhaust yourself. You'll tap out every resource. I'm the type of person, my personality, and my wife will tell you this if she was here. I always want to know. And as a pastor, I've had to learn how to step back off of that. As a pastor, I've done this in the last couple of months, I had to start doing it. Once I preach to you guys, I'm done. I don't go relive what I said. I don't go relive how everybody responded. I don't go relive if you smiled at me, looked at me, glared at me, smacked me, hugged me, kissed me. I just don't think about it anymore. Why? Because it ain't on me, it's on you now. Because how many of you know that could wear somebody out? You know, I looked at Brother Lonnie when I was preaching, and he looked at me with a glare. You know, babe, do you think Lonnie likes me? Well, why would you say? Because he glared at me on Sunday. Well, maybe Lonnie had something in his eye. Maybe Lonnie was trying to control himself so he didn't sneeze all over me. I mean, seriously, like, you know, Lonnie, I think Lonnie's mad at me. Well, why? Because when we were walking down the aisle and I was coming up front, Lonnie passed me. He didn't say hi to me. It's because Lonnie was so focused on one thing, he just didn't see you. It's not that he doesn't love you. It's just that I just didn't see you. I told you countless times how many times I thought Rob was mad at me, and Rob was never mad at me. That'll wreck your life trying to figure that stuff out. So some things you just got to trust God with. Just trust Him. Don't try to figure everything out. And realize faith is a rest. There's peace when you're serving God. Amen? It's a rest. The other thing is this, and this is basically, we talked a little bit about this earlier, and this is over in James 1 in verse 2. Let's look at this. Everybody doing all right? I'm preaching some of my notes, but a lot of this is not in my notes. But there's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, because I believe it's going to help you out for this new year and just encourage you. Amen. James 1, and I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation because this just reads so well. James 1 and verse 2. My fellow believers, how many of you know that's us, believers? Amen. Christians. When it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can. Why? Here we go. For you know that when your faith is tested, or when your faith passes the test, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Now, if you read this in the King James, a lot of us have read it in the King James. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I like verse 5. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it generously to anybody. So he tells us that the testing of our faith, we said this before, it's not that God is testing you, it's just the things of life that bring out what's there. So what happens is, in 2023, your faith will be tested. It'll happen. I wish I could tell you it's not, but it is. All of us, including me, will have an opportunity where our faith will be tested. But the Bible says, James says something very interesting. He says, when you're overwhelmed with difficult situations everywhere around you, you ought to be the happiest you've ever been. Now, how many of you would know, most of the time it ain't that way. When you're overwhelmed with situations, most of us are very vocal, most of us are very opinionated, and most of us might get very frustrated with God in the situations of our life. You say, why do you say that? Because I've done it. You know, bills pile up, and you're going, you want me to get happy? You know, bless God, I don't have no, you know, I mean, oh yeah, you're working on your marriage, and all of a sudden, instead of want to hug the person, you want to strangle them. You know, and somehow they're getting on your nerves more than ever. Well, count it as an opportunity to have the greatest joy you can. Why? Because my faith is being tested, and when I come out of this, I'm going to be complete and mature and lacking nothing. My faith is getting pushed on. Why? It's growing. And growth, at the beginning of this message, we said this, growth causes you to mature, causes you to develop, causes you to come up. If you want to come up in this next year, you're going to have to allow some things to work in you, and you're going to have to allow God to help you through these things, and you're going to have to count it joy when you're going through a whole lot of stuff. You can tell a mature believer by when everything around them says one thing, but they're happy. It's truth. You say, well, why? Because they know that they're going to come out of this stronger than they went in it. You say, but how can you count circumstances joyful? Because you know who's with you, and you know who's fighting for you, and you know your part, and you know God's part, so you just are trusting in Him, and you're counting it all joy. See, I don't, you say, but you got bills piling up. Why are you so happy? Because God will help provide for my bills. But you're believing God for this and this and this, and it seems like everything's coming against you. Yeah, but it's a great opportunity for God. Here, just remember this quote. Just another opportunity to prove that the Word of God works. Just another opportunity to prove that His Word works. Just another chance to prove His Word works. So when all the bills pile up, instead of getting mad, you get glad. And what do you say? Just another opportunity to prove the Word of God works. Oh, but I went to the doctor and they told me this. Just another opportunity for me to show that the Word of God works. But my marriage, well, it's just another opportunity to show me that the Word of God works. My personal life, just another. See, I can count it all joy. So when you go home, if you have situations that come against you, you can laugh at them. Why? Because God's working on your behalf. The Bible says, if God be for me, then who can be against me? Nobody can stand against you. Come on, Joseph didn't get frustrated, y'all. Joseph went to prison and got blamed for killing people. I mean, just like crazy things happened to him. You know, got blamed for, he didn't kill somebody. He got blamed for the wife. The wife accused him, said he tried to rape her. He said, I didn't do that. And God said, just watch what I'm going to do. And Joseph got excited to the point that he served God with joy. And the Bible says that the favor of God was upon Joseph's life. Joseph prospered in a jail cell, so much so that he got moved up. And when he came out of there, the testing that he went through brought him out, and he was better than when he went in. When he went into the part, what happened? He was going through a lot. He was prideful. He was arrogant. He thought he was better than his brothers. And all of a sudden, now he comes out years later, and he's the second in charge, has all of access to the money, and is led by God, and his family comes to him, and they bow before him, and everything that he saw when he was a kid is coming to pass. And he realized that it was God who promoted him, and God was with him, and God was faithful, and Joseph never threw in the towel. If Joseph didn't throw in the towel, then we have no reason to quit. Seriously, Joseph had every opportunity to quit. Think about Moses and Abraham and Paul. I mean, Paul said this. He said, the love of God, the love of God for him. You know, I mean, think about it. The love of God for Paul, a man that was shipwrecked and beaten and left for dead. All these things happened to him, but he never was forsaken. God was always with him. I mean, seriously, like, God is for you guys. Let that sink in. You can get excited about 2023. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be frustrated no more. Why? Because God is working in me and working through me, and I can count it all joy. You know, I can count it joy. Oh, but I got so many problems. Okay, what you talk about, you will magnify. It becomes bigger. The more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. Don't talk about your problem more than the promise of God. Why? Because if you get God's perspective on things, you'll realize how big God is and how small your problem is. But the devil gets that opposite because he gets you to believe your problem is bigger than God. Don't think so, Joe. Nope. My problem is not bigger than God. My problem is smaller than God. And if God's working on me and working through me, I can count it joy. But all the problems... Don't need to worry about it because God's working on my behalf. I can trust Him. I can get happy about it. I can be joyous about it. I don't have to let it. How many of you know circumstances in your life, if you let them, they'll rob your joy. It'll steal your joy. It'll make you miserable. I don't know about you. I don't like miserable. And I don't like being around people that are miserable. You got to be happy about it. Be glad about it. It's not that you're ignoring the problem. It's just that you know the solution. You're not ignoring it. You're not like sitting in your house like putting your head in the sand and you got bills going to your ceiling. You're just like, if I just hide from them, then maybe it'll disappear. No, it's just knowing that the bill is there and God will provide. It's knowing, God, show me, help me, thank you, Lord. And I don't have to sit here and stress. Come on now. I think for 2023, some of y'all just need to be less stressed. Don't stress so much. Don't try to figure everything out. Just love on God, serve God, and let God help you this year. Just seriously, like, you may go through things, but just remember this. You know the answer. You've got a solution. So when it hits you, don't respond. Sometimes, and I've had to learn this, you guys. I had to. And I have to work on this a lot in my life. When something hits you, don't respond immediately. Just sit for a second. I did real good recently. Let me tell you about a real good thing I did. Did real good. I got in a little, I butted heads with my wife. Anybody ever do that? No, good. So I butted heads with my wife, and I was in a disagreement with my wife. And I really wanted to respond because I'm really quick on the tongue part. It's good when it's the devil. It's bad when it's your wife or people that you care about because sometimes I shoot things out, and I got to watch what I say. And so I got ready to shoot out the mouth, and I stopped. And I was like, okay. And I stopped, and you know what I did? I just went into the room real calm and just said, babe, I'm going to go take a 15-minute drive and just clear my head. I'll be right back. I said, leave the front door unlocked. I'll be right back. I'm not being gone because I used to take drives, and I was just like, I'll see you whenever I want to come back, you know. I'm going down to Effingham, get a coffee. Goodbye. See you later. You know, silence my phone. I'll show you, calling. Where are you at? I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm out buying something for myself. Make myself happy because you made me mad, So what did I do? I went on a 15-minute drive. And I just quieted myself down and listened and just said, Lord, I thank you that you helped me out in this situation. Oh, my goodness. I was so glad I did that. Because I saved myself. And you know what? Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord reminded me of this. I had another opportunity. My wife and I, she did something, and I thought, this will get you in more trouble in life. It's better this. Don't assume things. If you don't know it, don't assume it. Come on now. Don't look at a situation and say, I know because I know. No, you don't know because you don't know. You're not in their shoes. You're not walking with them. You're not sitting in their closet. You don't have a clue of why they did what you got no idea. You know, well, they did it because they just, no, they did it probably because there's more there. You think that, but it's probably not that. Why? What happens when you do that? It gets you frustrated, gets you mad, gets you thinking wrong. And then that's why you think wrong things about people that are not even true. That's why it's just better not to judge, not to think about it. Just let God take care of that. Remember, God's part, your part? Let God do that. And so my wife had done something, and I had determined, I knew why she did it. And the Lord told me, he said, don't you say nothing. I said, I know why she did it. I'm spiritual. I hear your voice, and I know exactly why she did it. And so I was going to confront her on it. And the Lord said, just keep quiet. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep quiet. So later that night, I was doing something. I think I was in the bedroom in the office area, and I was working on something. And, you know, knock on the door, and I'm like, well, I know it's not my son because he punches the door, so I know it's not him. I knew it was my wife, and so she came in, and she said, you know, da-da-da-da, and she told me why she did what she did. Guess what? Pastor was all wrong. And God said, that's why I told you not to say nothing. Why? Because she did it because of this, and you thought this, and if you would have said that, it would have hurt her, made her mad. It would have just made a mess, y'all. So why did I keep my mouth? I let God, those things that I have been through in my marriage and things that I've gone through, those things have squeezed on me and shown me things I've had to work on. But what I have to do in those areas is I have to let God help me out. I have to yield. How many of you know I could have not kept my mouth shut? Woo! What would have happened? Y'all, I'd be learning the same lesson again. Just depends on when she did something that frustrated me. Which all of us know in this room, people that you're married to, people you're close to, probably frustrate you more than once a day. They do. It's just part of life. But how many of you know when we go through things, it's those things that we go through that shows us what is there, whether our faith and this love walk is genuine or there's things that we need to work on. So if we know our part and God's part and we allow him to work in us this year in situations and circumstances, you know, a lot of times when we go through things, we want to run. Instead of run, how about we do what Scripture says? When you've done everything to stand, stand. Just stand. Because, you know, I know what it's like to want to run from things. Trust me. I do. Because I've been through things where I want to run. I want to just get out, you know. But sometimes we just need to stop and stand on God's word and say, God, here's what I know and here's what I believe. And so in this next year, I'm just going to allow you to help me in these areas. If you show me something in my life that I need to work on, I'm going to let you show me. And I'm going to let you help me to work on it. And how do you know? God will help you. And the good thing is the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he's the teacher. So he'll teach you. And he's not going to show you also apart from the word. He'll show you the word. And then he'll show you how to apply it. He'll show you the word, and then he'll show you how to apply it. So if he says, hey, we got to work on your love walk. Here's your scripture. Now here's the areas in the life we need to work on the love walk. And how many of you know, now y'all, I'm telling you this, and then we're going to pray. But now that we've talked about these things, some of y'all are going to have some things come up, and you're going to go home. You're going to get pushed, and something's going to come out, and God's going to go, you remember what Pastor Matt said about a lot? Will you let me work on that right there? And that's when we say, yes, Lord. You know, I always laugh because anytime we talk about patience in church, anytime we talk about patience in church, it's like the Lord opens up the heavens and sends out every slow driver in the world. Like literally, every time we come to church and I preach on patience, I'm like, I remember one Sunday I was like, seriously, like, come on, like, give me like a half hour here, man. Like, can you just give me some time? Like, it's like, patience, you know, just relax, man. Yeah, but this person is driving 10 miles under the speed limit. They need to speed it up. I mean, you know, I mean, I'd call Miss Dorothy and be like, y'all, teach them how to drive, Miss Dorothy. Tell them to put the pedal to the metal and go. I got things I need to do. But, you know, I mean, there's things in our life when we pray, Lord, thank you that you're going to help me in my love walk. How many of you guys know when you go this week, God's going to help you? But here's the thing that you can do. No matter what you go through in life in this next year, you can get excited and have joy in the midst of it because you know who's working with you and for you and who's on your side. It's all perspective, guys. That's what it is. It's just perspective. If you think that God is big and God is working, it'll cause you to have peace. It'll cause you to have rest. It'll cause you to have joy. But if you think God's not working and you got to handle everything and you got to figure it all out, you got to take care of all of this, then this will frustrate you and wear you out. So we're in a new year. So I don't know about you. I say when we leave this place today, let's just leave with nothing on our plate, nothing to worry about, and just say, Lord, I thank you that you're going to help me in 2023. Amen? Now, I was going to teach. It's interesting. I was going to teach on finances today. Didn't do that at all, but what I got, when it's funny because I wrote everything down, and the Lord said, this is for them for their new year. You know, learning to trust him, learning to find out your part and his part, you know, realizing that he's your source and he's the one that will help you out, and also realizing not only will he help you out, but no matter what I go through in life, I can have joy because God's working in me. And see, God wants you perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. That's what God wants in your life. So what he's doing is he's saying, do you just let patience work in you a little bit? Let that endurance work. Why? Because where you're going in life is going to require something that you're going to learn here that you're going to have to apply down here. Amen? Let's just look at this real practical. God, help me and marry my finances. Okay, well, I'm going to help you over here with trusting me with $10. Why? So that when you get over here and I want you to trust me for $1,000, you'll do it. Lord, I want you to help me in my love walk. Okay, well, I want to help you in that area. Why? Because over here, you're going to be working with people that are the most unlovable, and I want you to love them like nobody ever has. Well, I got this area here with my marriage. I need you to help me. I want to help you in that area. Well, why? Because over here, I'm going to have you help married couples, and I want you to use what I did in you to help those married people. God helping you out in this area with my wife and the things that she's been through. Well, why? Why are you working those areas in me, God? Because at some point you're going to meet a man and you're going to marry him and you're going to have a kid and you're going to pastor a church and you're going to have people come to your church that are going through what you're going through, and you'll see them differently if you let me work in you. Then when I take you over there, you'll trust me. Help me with my anger. Why, God? Why are you working on me with anger when I'm 19 years old? Because I'm going to have you help people in your community, and you can't get frustrated. You can't get angry. They need to see me in you. See what God does? Count it joy. Why? Because God knows what he's doing, and where he's taking me to is far better than what I've gone through. Amen. Let me pray for you guys this morning. Father, I thank you for these men and women. Lord, I just shared. I gave them everything that I got in my heart today. Lord, it's a little different than what I thought, but I know it's what they needed to hear. People in this room, individually, corporately, maybe it's just for one person. But Lord, I believe that this word will land on their heart, and I believe that in this next year that they'll just trust you in areas of their life. Lord, they'll lean into you. They'll allow you to work and orchestrate and line things up and lead them and guide them and direct them and help them. And Father, I thank you that as they trust in you, that Lord, they'll spend time in the Word. They'll see what they need to do. They'll see their part. They'll see what you're going to do. When they believe you, that you'll work. And when they trust you, that you'll work. And when they do this, then you'll do this. And as they do that, Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're revealing to them that you're the source, that you're the one that will help them out in any circumstance, in any situation. And no matter what they go through in life, that they can count it joy. No matter what it is, James told us, Lord, and your word said that when things are overwhelming us, that we can be joyous, that we can be happy, because we know that you're working on us and that you're working for us and that you're not against us. And Father, I'm reminded of the scripture that says all things work together for the good of those that love you. For the men and women in this place today that are Christians, that have called upon the name of the Lord, Father, you are working in their favor. You are bringing things together. And Lord, no matter what happens, we can count it joy. Father, this next year, we are trusting you. Lord, even though we might be stretched, or might have to grow in some areas, we are trusting you. And we believe this much, that there are many victories that are coming in front of us. And there's many things that we're going to overcome, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We thank you, Lord, for this next year. We thank you, Lord, that you were faithful in 2022. But we thank you, Lord, we're going to grow more. We're going to mature more. And no matter what comes against us, we're going to count it joy. We're going to count it joy because you're working in us and you're working through us. And we know this much. If you're for us, then nobody can stand against us. If you're working in us, then we are going to overcome it. If you're for us, Lord, then that means we're not going to be destroyed. We're not going to get overwhelmed. But you'll help us to rise up and to come up and to walk above all the things that the enemy has in store for us. And we thank you for it, Lord. Now, thank you, Lord, for these people here today. Thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you empower them. This is specifically for them, that you empower them to do what it is that you have called them to do. And Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that will come forth from this. Testimonies of them, of overcoming. Testimonies of them seeing your faithfulness and your goodness in their life. And we thank you for it, Lord. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. And we just give you praise today. In Jesus' name.